Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. The title of the message, Every Father is a General. Every father is a general. In God's design, every father is a general. Every father is under the command and authority of God and is given authority to command and lead his troops. The arrows of his quiver, the olive plants around his table. Every father, a general to conquer the earth. Every father, a general to subdue the earth. Every father, a general to cast out the Canaanites. Every father, a general to bring every thought captive and to bring every knee beneath Christ as King and Lord. Every father, a general to lead out his troops in doing the work of the evangelist. Every father, a general to go, therefore, and make disciples and turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. Dear friends, many of you are dispensationalists. Many of you have an understanding of eschatology that tends to lend itself to a negative disposition regarding the Lord overturning our land, regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ taking root in our city. I would challenge you not to abandon your dispensationalism, not to abandon your eschatology, but to wed your eschatology with the command of Christ. To wed your eschatology with the rest of Holy Scripture and 2,000 years of church history. I believe we have many forefathers who also were dispensationalists, believing, yes, at the end, things are going to get bad. At the end, yes, there's going to be a great falling away. At the end, yes, there will be a literal antichrist in the earth. And yet, between now and that actual end, the Lord has raised up His church to go there for and make disciples. And His church has been effective in city after city, nation after nation, in turning the world upside down, in rescuing the captives, in seeing great multitudes come unto Jesus, bending their knee, confessing Him as Lord, in seeing sin eradicated, brothels closed, slavery ended. Friends, we need to be a people with a vision to conquer the land, to cast out the spiritual Canaanites, to overthrow the forces of darkness, to herald forth the message of our King, that those who are in rebellion against Him would lay down their arms and call Him Lord. And so today I would gather your attention to Joshua chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 24. That we might see that every father is a general. Every father is a general. The first point, first chapter, verses 1 through 9 of Joshua. The command received. The command received. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Dear brothers and sisters, our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are not unlike Israel, that we are to go and take the land of the Canaanites. We are not unlike Israel, that we are to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are not a defeated people in Christ, and we do not have a defeated king. We have a mighty, conquering king, and he would conquer every heart in our land. We need that vision. We need that passion. And we as fathers need a blazing fire burning in our hearts that Christ would conquer our children, that He would conquer their souls, that He would rule in their hearts, That we would pass the torch of Christ on to the next generation and that behind it. And while we are ready for the trumpet and shout, we're not counting on the trumpet and shout to get us out of the mess we have made. As fathers who have not been engaged, seeking the hearts of our children and our grandchildren and our grandchildren's children after them. The command received, the Lord would have us to take the land. But we can't take the land if we don't have an army. And our children are the army. The children of Israel, where do they get their army? Their children, their sons. They raised them up to follow the Lord. They raised them up in the vision that the Lord had given. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. And what did he say to him? He said, "You go across that Jordan, and every place the sole of your foot touches, I will give to you." Get that vision. Get that vision. Every place the sole of your gospel-shod foot touches needs to come beneath Christ. That's your prayer. Is that not your prayer? I fear it's not. Because I know for myself, all too often, my vision is way too small. Thy kingdom come. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. I've taken these last months to prayer walking, not in some charismatic sense, naming it and claiming it, but just when I walk, I'm awake. I can pray longer and clearer, and I can memorize Scripture better. So half the walk, I pray, half I memorize Scripture, and it's a wonderful time, but it's kind of like marching around Jericho, right? I'm marching around the city, and I'm praying, and part of what I'm praying, that the construct is the Lord's Prayer. It's thy kingdom come in all of its applications. And it's a blessing to my soul to pray it and to see it, to feel it, to understand it, and to want it. Brothers and sisters, that's Christ's command. How should I pray? You pray like this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. That's our aim. That's our goal. Oh, I believe dispensationalism is correct. I believe the Lord has a distinct plan for His church and for Israel. I believe there will be a trumpet and a shout and a millennial kingdom. Oh, yes. But I believe Lord would have us to be engaged in subduing the earth, engaged in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, engaged with feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, bringing the world beneath Christ. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Look to verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Brothers and sisters, it takes strength and it takes courage. Strength and courage. None of you are called to weakness. None of you are called to cowardice. And if you have the Spirit of God, you have the means by which you would be strong. You have the means by which you would be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. And disallow anything else in your heart, for anything else is sin. Be strong. Be courageous. And disallow anything else in your children. And your sons, fathers, for anything else is sin. We need strength in this world, not cowardice in the face of atheism, not cowardice in the face of Islam. Strength, courage, clarity, dogmatism. We need to understand the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and be able to wield it with courage and commitment. Be strong, says the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now the Lord has not sworn to give us this land, But he has sworn this, my word shall not return void. He has sworn that. He has sworn that some from every tribe, tongue, and nation will come unto Jesus and confess Him as Lord. He has sworn this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. He has sworn this, that the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That He has sworn. And this, how would they hear without a preacher? That He has sworn. These are the means by which nations are brought low beneath Christ and lifted up for His glory. These are the means by which the Canaanites are put out and the Christians are raised up spiritually to rule and reign with grace and truth. These are the means by which sin is eradicated, by which the murder of unborn children, unchecked by all our politics, would come to an end. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Walk in the light of the Word, fathers. Walk in the light of the Word, dear Christian. Be strong and courageous in it. Speak it. Speak it. Love not your own life. Love not your own position so much that you give up the truth. You give up God's Word, God's holy standard, God's gospel. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. It shall not depart from your mouth, brother. It shall not depart from your mouth, father. It shall not depart from your mouth, Christian. It's not something, you know, this little light of mine, I'm not going to let it shine. It's not something you hide away. It's, you know, it's my faith. It's my personal relationship with the Lord. It's, you know, I just hide it away here. It's so precious to me that I'm not going to tell anyone about it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's the rule of your life. It's your passion. It's your joy. But brothers, it won't be on your lips if it's not in your heart and in your head. It won't be on your lips if it's not in your heart and in your head. You must be in it for it to be in you. Most of our fear when it comes to advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the earth is from our ignorance. Ignorance makes us nervous. Ignorance makes us fearful, and rightly so. Rightly so, when it comes time to take that exam in high school or college, if you don't know the answers, you're a wee bit nervous if you care and have any sense at all. And so study to show yourself approved. Meditate in it day and night, and then guess what? It will be on your lips. It'll be in your heart. It'll be oozing out of your pores. Meditate in it day and night. It is your chief study. It is your chief love. It is your chief focus. Meditate in it day and night. Your soul depends upon it. Your children's souls depend upon it. Your grandchildren's souls depend upon it. The souls of the men and women that live all around you depend upon it. This city, this state, and this land depends upon it. The babies will be murdered next week. Their precious lives depend upon it. Do you see our lives and our commitment to God's design or lack thereof has ramifications for everyone around us? We cannot afford to live a life of happenstance, a life willy-nilly, however the wind might blow. We need a design. We need a plan. We need a command. Look to Joshua. Look to God's Word and meditate in it day and night, that it might not depart from your mouth, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. As we go out declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, often we'll ask folks if they were to die today, would they go to heaven or hell? And they usually say, heaven, of course. And we say, why? Because I'm basically a good person. What standard are you judging that by? Do you know what standard God will judge you by? Not really. How about we start with maybe His law, the Ten Commandments? Do you know those? Oh, yeah, I got that down. Can you tell me a few? Don't kill folks. Murder, right? Yes, that's a good start. And basically, that's about all they can get. Usually after that, thou shalt not steal. And then maybe they get a hold of lie. Now and again, adultery. And that would be a real stellar, you know, astute theologian out there who just told me in all confidence that they are going to heaven because they're keeping God's moral commands, commands that they do not even know. They don't even know the basic Ten Commandments. But brothers and sisters, that's the non-believer. How about professing believers? Do we even know the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments? Just ten. Ten commandments. How much of God's Word have you hidden in your heart? Oh, how ashamed we should be at how little diligence we have given to meditating upon the Word of God in order that we might do according to all that is written within it. And when it is fresh in our heart and mind, then it tends to rule in us, even having memorized, even having read. Oh, yeah, I did that. I read the Bible once. Did that. Did you really? Yeah, I ate breakfast once too. But if I don't do it today, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I won't think clearly. I won't have strength. I need to eat regularly. Meditate on the Word of God in order that it might be in your mouth, in order that it might be lived out in your life, that you do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. You want a plan for success, a plan for prosperity? Here it is. Here it is, Father. Here it is, Mother. Here it is, Christian. It's right here. Outside of this, there will not be genuine prosperity. You might prosper in the short term in the eyes of this world, but it will not be genuine prosperity. It will not be genuine success. It will be failure. It's just a matter of time until that failure is shown before all. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? This is the command of the Lord for the Lord's generals, and every father is a general. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. That's three times, my friends. Three times. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. That's the first time that the Lord adds, and do not be afraid. What makes us weak? What makes us cowardly? Our fear. And what is fear? A lack of faith. And what is a lack of faith born out of? A lack of a knowledge of God. And how is it that you lack a knowledge of God? Because you do not meditate on the Word of God. How is it that you know God? The revelation that God has given us of Himself. When you know Him, your faith increases exponentially because you see how mighty He is. Omnipotence is not a doctrine in a book. Omnipotence is the reality of the one true God. He is almighty, and He's working all things according to the counsel of His will. And every time you go to the Word of God, you are reintroduced to the omnipotent God of the universe. Your God, your Father. And that alone sets everything right. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, wherever those gospel-shod feet carry you, the Lord your God is with you. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is directing the course of your life. You're not out there alone. You're not blowing in the wind. He's not on the backside of the universe. Things have not gone wrong. All things are working together for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him. For He has proven His love beyond all measure at the cross. The command received. Secondly, the command delivered. The command delivered. That was God's command to His general, Joshua. Every father's a general. Secondly, the command delivered. The general, having received the command, now is going to deliver the command. He's going to pass it on. It's to be shared. It's to be declared. It's to be carried out. The command delivered, verses 10 through 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Fathers, you are the God designed, authorized, instructed, head of your home. Lead in righteousness, lead with strength, lead with grace, lead with tenderness, but lead. Lead as God has designed you to lead." Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people." Command the people. As you say, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Follow me as I follow Christ," or, you know, go to Disneyland. Folks are going to say, "Okay, well, I guess we'll think about that." No, "Follow me as I follow Christ," period. No other options. You're the general. You're the father. Those souls in your home, those are on your account. Those are on your account. Their blood, on your hands. Follow me as I follow Christ. And the Lord has given you authority. He has given you, in His design, the authority to lead, the authority to instruct, the authority to discipline your children in righteousness. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess." Fathers, give the family a vision for Christ. Give the family a vision that's higher than what's on TV that evening. Give your family a vision that's higher than the next big sporting event in our city or in some distant city. Give the family a vision that's higher than pop culture. Give them a vision that's higher than the next political race. Give them a vision that's higher than college and career goals. Give them a vision from the Word of God to conquer the land for Christ. That's the vision to go there for and make disciples. That's the vision. We can simplify it back down to 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Give them the vision, the mission. That's it. Let us get engaged. Joshua commanded the officers, the people, saying, "Pass through the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself." Prepare. Prepare. Our children must be prepared for a life of righteousness. They must be trained to meditate on the Word of God. They must have the Word of God hidden in their hearts. But if we're not doing it as parents, we're hard-pressed to compel them to. If we're feasting on this world's dainties, it's hard to train them to feast on the Word of God. If we're feasting on Twinkies, it's hard to teach them to eat lean fish and vegetables. If we've gotten fat on the carnal appetites of this world, they're going to get fat with us. Must be lean in Christ. We might be warriors for Christ with the diet of a soldier of Christ. Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now, I don't know the Lord will give us the city, but we should endeavor to take it for Jesus. I don't know the Lord will give us this state, but we should endeavor to take it for Jesus. I don't know if the Lord will grant revival across our land, but we should strive toward that end with all that is within us. I do know this. He will give us some. He will give us some. And we need to go get us some. I know that. His word will not return void. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Prepare provisions for yourselves. Within 3 days you'll cross over, and you'll go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest is giving you this land, your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall possess, or you shall pass before the brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor and help. Everyone's in it together. Everyone's in it together. We're all in it together. The fight is the fight that all of Israel is called to be engaged in one form or fashion. Verse 16, so they answered Joshua saying, all that you've commanded us we will do. That's a great response, is it not? Beautiful. And wherever you send us, we will go. Here am I, Lord, send me. Joshua, exercising the authority that God had given him, delivering the command that God had given him, and the people of God responding rightly. Boy, this looks a lot like Philippians 1, 26, 27. The church of Jesus Christ striving together with one heart and one mind for the faith of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 17, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will we heed you. And you know that should have sent Joshua into some kind of shock and terror, for they tried to usurp Moses' authority on several occasions. They tried to go back to Egypt, and yet we understand the heart behind it and trust it is sincere at this juncture. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. It was a theocracy. It wasn't open to suggestions. Should we cross the Jordan and take Canaan, or should we just make camp here? What do you think? Raise up some committees? No, it was a theocracy. We are going to cross the Jordan. We are going to take Canaan. The Church of Jesus Christ is also a theocracy. A little different, mind you. No one will be put to death today. Nevertheless, the mission is Christ. The command is Christ. The church is Christ. It's not open to interpretation. The gospel is Christ. And we are to take the land. Every local church, every individual Christian is not to decide what Christianity means to them, what the mission of the church is for them. It has been laid out quite clearly, and it's oh so similar. Again, verse 18, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. They echo the Lord's words to Joshua. Only be strong and of good courage. Brothers and sisters, we need to be strong. We need to be of good courage, and we need to encourage strength and courage. Encourage, meaning place it in one another. Be strong and of good courage. The Canaanites aren't standing there saying, oh, come, please come. We've been waiting for you. No, not at all. So the command received, the command delivered, the command feared. Chapter 2, the command feared. This is all about Rahab. We're not going to get caught up here, but let's look at it real quick. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. And we know that Rahab hides them, but why does she hide them? Verse 9, she said to the men, I know the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. The terror of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. That has not changed. How was Jericho conquered? The fear of the Lord came upon them. That's how it started. How will our land be conquered? The fear of the Lord. We need to minister the law of God. Minister the law of God. Minister the word of God in such a way that they come to a revelation of God's holiness and their sinfulness, and they cry out like Rahab. Verse 10, For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. When we are strong, when we are courageous, the world must stand up and take note of our God, because it's the strength and courage that the revelation of God gives. And it's a revelation of God to be strong and courageous in God. And then it rightly diminishes their faith in their idols, their confidence in their rebellion against God being successful. And they, like Rahab, confess the one true God. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Look to verse 24. Look to verse 24. And then they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." The spies come back. They tell Joshua, "The Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." When we rightly divide the word of truth, when we understand what we have in the treasure of God's wisdom and His word, that we're not daunted by atheism, we're not daunted by cults, we're not daunted by the glories of false religion, for they are inglorious. They are so much foolishness. We are prepared, we're equipped, we have a sharp double-edged sword. And we come back reporting like these, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." That should be our disposition, not, "Wow, you know, those Mormon missionaries, they sure are trained well. Those Jehovah Witness door knockers, they sure know their stuff. They can sure twist that scripture. Why don't we know our stuff?" Because we're not laboring out of love of the Lord to be engaged. Because we've forgotten that every father's a general, and every church and army to conquer the land for Christ. The command received, the command delivered, the command feared, the command feared. The command obeyed, chapter 3. The command obeyed, look to chapter 3. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they came to the Jordan, and he and the children of Israel, and lodged before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you in it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.' And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Brothers and sisters, if we will trust the Lord, if we will believe the Lord, He will do wonders. And the greatest wonder of all is to bring sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and make them new creatures. The greatest wonder of all is to raise up a people who are strong and victorious in Christ Jesus, who are not being swept along with the wind and the waves of this world. "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the Lord. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Fathers, men, ladies, as we walk in the faith, as we walk in prayerful dependence, as we walk in the light of the Word, there's power there. And we're not looking to be exalted for personal glory, but the idea is that it will be clear that God has sanctioned him, that God has authorized him, that God has placed him there, and that God is with him. Verse 8, "You shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.' So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. The ark of the covenant of the Lord. God's holy law, his holy covenant in that ark. Verse 12, now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Do you get that? This was no midsummer trickle. The banks are overflowing. Verse 16, the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap. It's a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God like unto, and some say even exceeding, that of the Red Sea. The Red Sea is basically still, mind you, some tide action going on, but a wall of water on the right, a wall of water on the left, and dry ground in between. The waters just didn't recede. It was a miracle. Glorious. And here, like unto that miracle, the Red Sea, where they were brought out of slavery, following God in faith, to meet God at Mount Sinai, to receive that covenant written with the finger of God and the two tablets of stone. Here, like unto that, entering into the promised land, the Lord is going to do a similar miracle. By God's grace, pure grace, miraculous grace, he brought you from death. He regenerated you. He brought you through the Red Sea into faith. And by God's grace, he will see you to the promised land. He will see you all the way through to heaven. He will sustain you to the end. The wall of water stood up. It stood still. It rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The command is obeyed. They have crossed the Jordan. They are in Canaan. Brothers and sisters, much of the time, that's the most difficult part, is believing God enough to get up, believing God enough to take that first step into Canaan. You have believed God. You've engaged yourself in God's plan to go and take the land, to go and rescue sinners, to go and to seek and to save the lost. And having exercised that faith, the Lord sees you through to the end. The wall of water stood up and you crossed on dry ground. Jericho and its walls, they'll not stand, because a people of God have arrived. The people trusting God in faith have arrived. A few more details before we get there, though. Chapter 4, the command remembered. The Lord would not have them forget. He would not have them forget his command. He would not have them forget their faith in his command and their obedience to his command and how God saw them through that Jordan with a wall of water there heaped up back to the city of Adam. And so they raised up memorial stones and placed them that they would not forget. Look to verse 16, it says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come. Verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Verse 14, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Verse 21, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, fathers, every father a general. You shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. God did a miracle. God is omnipotent. There is nothing that stands in God's way. Not a sea, not a river, not a city surrounded by walls. Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. God would have the world know that he is mighty. We're very busy trying to let the world know that God is nice. And God would have the world know that he's mighty and that he is holy and that he is gracious. But the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. What saved Rahab? The fear of God saved Rahab. Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation of wisdom, lest we should forget. The command remembered. The command remembered. Chapter 5, the commander worshipped. The commander worshipped. It's not Joshua being worshipped. Look here. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were at the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself, and they circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of foreskins. How about that for a name? This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt were males. All the men of war had died in the wilderness. Why? Because they had not believed God. When the Lord is going to do a mighty work, he must first clean house. And he cleaned his house. Verse 5, for all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons. We had raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. He circumcised their sons. Father, Father, lead your son. Say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't make God put you away. Don't make God get you out of the way so your son can be free to find his own path, the path of actual genuine service to Christ. Lead them. Fight alongside them. What a privilege. What a joy. My great joy is to serve the Lord alongside my children. It's my great joy. And grandchildren after them. That will be a joy. Verse 12. Then the manna ceased. The Lord had sustained them all this time, all these 40 years, all the way across the Jordan. And then the manna ceased. Verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man who is the manna. The earthly manna ceased. And the manna from heaven comes on the scene, Jesus Christ. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man, a theophany, a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ before he was born of the Virgin Mary. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he, the man, said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Are you for us or our adversaries? No. I love it. I'm not for you. I'm not for your adversaries. I have come as the commander of the army of the Lord. You are for me. That's what he just said. I'm not for you. You are for me. Brothers and sisters, you've heard it before. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You are for him. He's not for you. He's not your personal Jesus. He's not your genie in a bottle. You are for him. Now, of course, he is your personal Lord and Savior. Of course, he is infinite in being. And so, lo, I'll be with you always. He can be with all of us at all times. I wouldn't take that from you. And yet we often get chummy with Jesus and think he's there for us. He's there to comfort us. He's there to help us. He's there to encourage us. And there's some truth to all that. And yet we are to be there for him. Where will you actually find comfort and strength and joy? When you are there for him, where are we continually finding lack of comfort, strength, and joy? When we're busy about our thing. Then we want him to come over here in our thing and to comfort us and to encourage us and to strengthen us. Where did he promise to be with us? Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. As you engage yourself about all your wants and desires and hobbies and... No, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age, comes right after, go therefore and make disciples. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and go and take the land. And I'll be with you always. And when he's with you, you're strong. When he's with you, you're courageous. When he's with you, you have joy. When he's with you, you have peace that surpasses understanding. When you lack all those things, it's because you're not with him. Who needs to move? Jesus, come over here. Come over here. No. No. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Are you for us? Nope. You are. For me. We need to understand that. And when we do understand that, we will have peace, we will have joy, we will have strength, we will have courage, we'll have victory, and we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We'll not be guilty of creative disobedience. So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He is always commander of the army of the Lord, and we are always the army of the Lord under his command. But sometimes he shows up on the scene. "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" There is our response. There is our response. And where does Joshua meet the commander of the Lord's army? Out on the battlefield. Where does Joshua meet the commander of the Lord's army face to face? When he is out engaged in advancing the kingdom of God, he meets the Lord. Do you want to see God work? Do you want to abide in the presence of God? Do you want to see miracles, true miracles? God change the hearts of men? Then abide in his work. Abide in his will. Be where he says he will be, and he will be there. Joshua fell on his face and worshipped him. "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Jesus is still the commander of the Lord's army, and we are that army. We're not advancing the nation of Israel. We're advancing the kingdom of Christ. We're not doing it with a sword of steel. We're doing it with a sword of the Spirit, which is infinitely more powerful. These military illusions are not due to my military background. They're right there. He's the commander of the Lord's army. Look at that. He worships Him. He falls down before Him. It's glorious. It's glorious. Chapter 6, Jericho falls flat. Of course it does. The commander of the Lord's army is there. Of course it falls flat. They are right there with God, obeying God, and God is omnipotent. Jericho's no big deal. God is omnipotent. They march around. They blow the horns. Verse 20, when the people shouted, when the priests blew the trumpets, it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. And we cannot pull back from that reality. The Lord is a just judge, and He is angry with the wicked every day. And when He pronounces judgment, whether it's on the whole planet, and He brings a great global flood to wipe out everything in which is the breath of life, or whether He sends Israel in to conquer the Canaanites, or whether He releases the gluons that are holding the cosmos together, and there is no place for them to hide. And all of humanity is called to account before the Lord at the end of the age. The Lord is a just judge. And He's angry with the wicked every day. He's a just judge. Sometimes He brings judgment on individuals. Sometimes He brings judgment on whole people groups. Sometimes He brings judgment on all of humanity at once. And He is just. And we would not want to hold back that reality because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. God has not called us to be His PR people going forth to the world, convincing the world how reasonable, how nice, how understanding God is about our rebellion and our sin. He wants the world to know that He is holy and He is just. He is angry with the wicked every day, and yet He is gracious and He is merciful and He has made a way of escape through His Son, Christ Jesus, and Christ alone. But you see here, Christ, the commander of the Lord's army, sends the Lord's army to crush Jericho. There are those who would set Jesus Christ as the gracious Lamb of God against the Father, so austere and holy and judgmental. Now the Father is one with the Son and the Spirit, united together, either rescuing or crushing those who oppose Him. The command is to conquer. The command is to conquer. And Jericho is conquered. Jericho is crushed. Verse 25, and Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day. God was merciful to Rahab. God was merciful to her who learned the fear of God, children, who learned the fear of God, men and women, those who learn the fear of God and cry out to God to save them, He is merciful to. Those who continue in their rebellion will perish. They'll be crushed. Christ will conquer, even as He conquered Jericho. Every father's a general. The command received, the command delivered, the command feared, the command obeyed, the command remembered, the commander worshipped. The command is to conquer. To conquer. To conquer, brothers. To conquer, fathers. If you would be nice, if you're too nice to declare the law of God, if you're too nice to warn them of eternal damnation, if you're too nice to show them that the road is narrow and few shall find it, that it's Christ and Christ alone who will save them, then you would see Rahab crushed along with the rest of Jericho. That's not nice. That's not compassion. If you would spare them the necessary reality of the glory of God that would bring them to repentance, that would bring them to a knowledge of God, that would move them to the fear of God. You have not benefited them. You have not loved them. You have hated them and helped destroy their precious souls. It was Rahab's knowledge of God that moved her to fear God, that rescued her soul. It was Rahab's knowledge of God smiting the Amorites that moved her to repentance. Oh, that we would go find the Rahabs. One household saved out of an entire city, but praise God, that was a pivotal household. Rahab's name comes up later in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a pivotal name. Who knows? Who knows who might be saved by your testimony of Christ? What the Lord might do? The final point, Chapter 24 is kind of a summary, kind of a review of all that's gone on before. Look to verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. They have gone in. They have conquered Canaan, with a few exceptions, but they have largely conquered Canaan. And now Joshua is exhorting them to continue in the fear of the Lord, to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth, and to put away the gods which their fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Idolatry had crept into Israel. Serve the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't forget the victories. Don't forget those memorial stones. Don't forget His miracles. Don't forget His omnipotence. Don't forget that He's a just judge and angry with the wicked. Fear the Lord. Serve the Lord. Verse 15, if it seems evil, hear this, fathers, this is your cry. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what your neighbors are doing. It doesn't matter what professing Christians around you are doing. For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You are the general of your house. You are beneath the commander of the Lord's army. And you obey your commander regardless of what anyone else does. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Verse 24, the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And that is a general rule. As men will stand up, as pastors will stand up, as fathers will stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Others will follow. We need strength. We need courage. And strength and courage breeds strength and courage for the glory of God, for the taking of cities. Portland is our Jericho. Will we not find Rahab? Will we not find her? If we labored all our lives, all of us, and one precious Rahab was saved, it would be well worth it. But I'm confident a great many will be saved. And the Lord may yet turn this land around. He may yet. But I know this, the only way He will is as we go, with feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, united together with strength, with courage, with male leadership as God has designed, and with godly helpmates right there helping us to be all that we should be as God has designed. Now, if you wanted to take the time, you could look to Philippians 2 and verse 5. You could look to 2 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4 and find that the concept of being soldiers for Christ, being an army of God, or you could get out your concordance and just do a whole big study on it, carries through and through the New Testament. Christ is the commander of the Lord's army, and we are soldiers who have been enlisted. And every father is a general and we are commanded to take the land. Let's get the vision. Let's take the land. And let's start in our own homes. Follow me as I follow Christ. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the clarity and power of your word. We thank you for your design and your plan. We thank you for your omnipotence. We thank you, Lord, that all those whom you're calling will come. And yet faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We thank you for the privilege of cooperating with you as you, Lord, rescue sinners. We thank you for your mercy on our own souls. And may we be agents of mercy to others. Lord, I pray for every father that they would be the general you have called them to be, that I would be that which you have called me to be, that we would say to our wives, to our children, follow me as I follow Christ, and Lord, make it real through the power of your Spirit. That we would meditate on your word, that your word would be upon our lips and lived out in our lives. That we, Father, would shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we would go, therefore, and make disciples and find that indeed, lo, you are with us always, even to the end of the age, and that we have strength and we have courage and we have peace and we have joy in your work as we abide with you. Lord, give us a vision for the commander of the Lord's army and a fresh revelation of no. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. That it's not about us. It's about Him. His agenda. To seek and to save the lost. We ask it in Jesus' most glorious name. Amen.